God's people said. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Mr. Steve. Thank you, choir and musicians. What a blessing. I want to confess to you, all I can do is sit still on the front row here. What a blessing. Thank you, Sarah, especially. I want to thank you for being here. We want to welcome especially our guests. They've already been well. You've already been welcome, but I want you to know that you're always a special part of our fellowship. Several weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago now, I think, we began our sermon series, Unwrapping Your Spiritual Gifts. We'll be there for the next few weeks, and I hope that the Lord is honored as we share His Word and share the truths that are there. And it's wonderful to know that God's promised that every child of God has at least one spiritual gift, maybe more. And God wants to use you and use that gift that He's given you to use you in the kingdom's work, both in the church and the fellowship of the body of Christ. And this morning we're going to be looking at one aspect of that, the spiritual gift of prophecy. Spiritual gift of prophecy. And this passage is not on your outline, but we're going to be reading from Romans chapter 12. Well, it is on your outline. We're going to read a few more verses than you have listed there. Romans chapter 12. Listen carefully to God's wonderful word as He talks about spiritual gifts. Verse 3 and following. For I say, said Paul, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members of one body, and all members have not the same office or the same function or the same role, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. And he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. That list in Romans chapter 12 is sometimes called God's ministry list of spiritual gifts. And it lists several that we're going to be looking at together in the next few weeks. And this morning, the spiritual gift of prophecy. We may think, because of our background, that the spiritual gift of prophecy would be related to one of the prophets of old, like Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel and so many others. And while that's true, we're talking about the New Testament gift of gifts, spiritual gifts, that God has uniquely and sovereignly bestowed upon all of His children. In fact, in Romans 12, verse 6, just a reference to that again. Having then gifts according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophesy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. I brought this to our attention a little bit last Sunday in the messages. And I want to talk to you just very briefly about some obstructions, some obstacles to discovering our own spiritual gifts. I won't embarrass you and ask you how many of you think you know your spiritual gift. But the truth is, there may be many of us that know our spiritual gift. And God wants us to understand it as best we can and utilize that gift for His glory and for His honor and for our good and for the kingdom's causes. There are at least three reasons why sometimes we struggle with this thing called spiritual gifts, why we have trouble understanding them or identifying what our spiritual gift is. And I've listed them there for you in your study guide. The first is complacency. The second reason is confusion. And the third reason is carnality. Now, Brother Jackie, what do you mean? Well, I'm suggesting to you that one of the reasons we may not be sensitive to that spiritual arena of life whereby God has given us a spiritual gift may be because we've been too little focused on spiritual matters and too much focused on fleshly or carnal matters. And if we want to discover the gift that God's given us, we need to, like Paul said to young Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, neglect not the gift that is in you. If we could invite Paul back to come to Calvary for a Sunday, and say, Paul, what would you have us understand? I'm sure a part of what Paul would have us to know is God wants us to be sure that we are tuned in to Him and we're in the spiritual arena of discovering and understanding the spiritual aspect of what it means to have spiritual gifts given from God. And the truthfulness of it is complacency. For young Timothy, don't neglect the gift. Complacency is an obstacle to discovering spiritual truths. You know, in this room, right now, we can't see them, we can't hear them, but there are visions, there are pictures, there are sounds that are going through this room even as we speak. But we're not hearing them because we don't have the right equipment. We're not tuned into them. We're not focused in on them. And the same is true about spiritual gifts. Unless our hearts are tuned in to the Word of God, tuned in to the presence of God, yielded to the will of God, it'll be difficult for us to grasp spiritual things. So I want us for a moment to simply say in our hearts, Lord, speak to my heart. Lord, help me to be discerning concerning spiritual truth. Help me not to allow complacency to rob me of discovering what you'd like for me to know about spiritual gifts. So number one is complacency. Number two is confusion. Confusion was the case in the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant or not understanding. And one of the things we can understand is we know a little bit about the church at Corinth. They were the most carnal church that Paul wrote to. It was a church that was marked by division and other problems. And one of the problems was they just couldn't get a handle on spiritual gifts and how they ought to be utilized and how they ought to function. So there's confusion about how God wants to use them in the church and in our lives. And also in 1 Corinthians, there was carnality, being fleshly. 1 Corinthians 3:1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Lord, help us to be receptive to those sounds and those voices, those truths that you want us to discover and discern this morning and in the weeks to come and in this service this morning. Lord, don't let complacency or confusion or carnality rob us from discovering the real joy of discovering our spiritual gifts and utilizing them. But not only are there the obstacles of discovering our spiritual gifts, also there are some principles about discovering our spiritual gift. Now, I want you to stay tuned with me here because we're going to go rather rapidly through some of these, and they are all taken, their characteristics, taken from the life of Simon Peter. Simon Peter was one of those biblical characters. When I get to heaven, I know the Lord's going to let us fellowship with all the saints of God, but I'd like to be able to sit down with Simon Peter a little while. Simon Peter, what was it like to have been the one that even denied the Lord, but you wound up writing part of the New Testament? What was it like, Simon Peter, for you to realize when you denied the Lord that He still loved you and He didn't give up on you? Lord, what was it like, Simon Peter, when God used you to get the early church sound footing? And what was it like on the day of Pentecost when you stood there and preached the glorious message of the Word of God and 3,000 folks were saved? Simon Peter might respond, well, there are a lot of great things that God has done, God did for me. But Simon Peter would also say, I was constantly on guard for being in the flesh. I had to be on guard for, by the way, you'd think if you were saved, all the bad traits and all the negative relationships or qualities would be gone. No. We wish they were. One of these days they will be gone. Simon Peter would say, let me tell you about how God used spiritual gifts in my life. And as we look at Simon Peter's life, there's some qualities that he had and some of the other disciples too that I think would serve us well to look at this morning. Some things that accompany the spiritual gift of prophecy. A compulsion to proclaim the truth of God's Word. We've already mentioned Pentecost. One of the things I want us to remember is Simon Peter, y'all remember what his vocation was before the Lord told him? He's a fisherman. And we find in the day of Pentecost, him standing and preaching. By the way, the Feast of Pentecost brought Jews from all over the known world to Jerusalem to enjoy the feast and the tabernacles and all the things that are part of the celebration of Pentecost. But Simon Peter would say, all of my life I had a compulsion to right things that were wrong and to share things that were true. So Simon Peter, what aspect of your life has the Lord used and is using? One of the compulsion to proclaim the truth of God's word. At Pentecost, God raised up a preacher who was a fisherman and preached, and 3,000 folks saved. And the Holy Spirit fell upon that place as doves, if you would. And the power of God fell upon his church, and it was the beginning of the church age. Now, I don't know about you, but if you have the spiritual gift of prophecy, I want to suggest that you are compelled to right wrong, to declare truth, and to correct error. You cannot sit by comfortably and allow the lack of truth to continue to persist without addressing that. So Simon Peter said that you can know that you have the gift of prophecy by having a compulsion to proclaim the truth of God's word, as was the case at Pentecost, and also the case of the healing of the lame man, at the temple gate. Remember Peter and James and John? Peter and John, I think, were traveling. They walked, they saw at one of the gates of the temple a lame man that could not walk, and he was asking alms. And Simon Peter couldn't leave him alone, couldn't walk off and leave him. And the man asked alms of Simon Peter, and Simon Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And God put his hand on that old boy, and God healed him and gave him the ability to run and leap and walk and for all for the glory of God. And Simon Peter was compelled to address this man's need and proclaim truth. Jesus can touch your life and change your life. Maybe you've got an inner compulsion to share the good news of Christ with others. I think all of us ought to have that to some degree, like it was in Acts chapter 2, the healing of the lame man and the preaching at Pentecost. Compulsion to proclaim truth. The spiritual gift of prophecy is also seen, and I like all of these, but this one speaks to me, about the ability to discern and uncover ungodly motives in others. And an example of that is Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, where Ananias and Sapphira were coming. And remember the New Testament story in the book of Acts, where the people were selling their possessions and bringing them and laying them at the altar for God's glory. Ananias and Sapphira, for whatever reason, decided to give, but also under the impression, under the understanding that what they were giving was a significant gift, and others around them had given sacrificially. But Ananias and Sapphira gave and wanted people to think they were giving everything, and they really were giving just a token. Now, not always is the size of our gift measured as being significant. The truth is, just being obedient to the Lord is what he wants us to be and doing what he wants us to do. And so Ananias and Sapphira realized that Simon Peter had called him out on this thing and said, "Listen, you've not responded like you've said you've responded. You've not sacrificed like you've indicated you've sacrificed. And God will judge you because of that." And it seems terribly drastic, seems terribly harsh, but God's an all-wise God, and God judged Ananias and Sapphira. And what he did?
He took their life.
He took their life, exactly. And so the spiritual gift of proclamation uncovers ungodly motives, and doesn't want to allow things that are not right to go by the side and not be addressed. And so we're talking about qualities of the spiritual gift of prophecy. A compulsion to proclaim the truth, a discerning and a desire to uncover godly motives. And then thirdly, a desire to be right with God and experience brokenness. Simon Peter said he went out after he had denied the Lord, and Simon Peter wept bitterly. I don't remember the years before I was saved as much as I should, probably. But I don't remember being given to weeping over brokenness. But after I was saved, after I gave my heart and life to Jesus, there was a sensitivity that I remember the Lord just caused to swell up within me. And it was a sensitivity to the things of God, and a desire and a willingness to be broken. Brokenness is a sign of a desire to be right with God. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. If you're one of those people the Holy Spirit speaks to and brings conviction, and you find yourself more than one time weeping over your sin, broken over your sin, and desiring, if anything, a restoration of your walk with God, it's a sign you may have the spiritual gift of prophecy. A desire to glorify God as the lame man. Desire to bring the truth of God forward. A desire to see people give their hearts and lives to Jesus. A person with the gift of prophecy has a driving passion to be used of the Lord. And it's not always in a big public way. It can be in a kind of a quiet by the way service. You see, God knows your heart and God knows your service whether the world sees it or not. A desire to glorify Christ. E, a tendency to speak bluntly. I got a little tickled when I was doing my preparation. I just realized a whole lot more people than I knew have the spiritual gift of prophecy. A tendency to speak bluntly and directly to the point. Now, that doesn't mean, listen to me now, that doesn't mean if you're rude, you've got the gift of prophecy.
Come on.
But it does mean that you can speak plainly and directly to the point. When Jesus came to wash the disciples' feet, remember what Simon Peter said? You're not going to wash my feet, Jesus. You're not going to wash my feet. You ever spoke before you thought? And a tendency to speak directly and bluntly to the point. And Simon Peter said, Jesus said, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, you can have no part from me in the kingdom. What Jesus was saying was, you can't exclude me from any area of your life. I'm Lord of every area of your life. And the washing of the feet was a sign of humility. Simon Peter is going to need to embrace himself. And so Simon Peter said, Lord, not only wash my feet, but wash my hands and wash my body. Wash me all over. I want to be right with God, whatever it takes. We're talking about the spiritual gift of prophecy. A strong desire for immediate results. A person with the spiritual gift of prophecy is not the most patient person in the world. And you may think, well, Brother Jackie, that sounds a lot like me. Well, you may have the spiritual gift of prophecy, but the truth is, at Pentecost, a strong desire for immediate results is the case. A desire to see God work and act immediately for His glory. We're talking about indicators that you may have the spiritual gift of prophecy. A strong dependence on and a reliance on Scripture. As Simon Peter said on the day of Pentecost, when the cloven tongues of fire fell upon the people, which the Lord has spoken by the prophet Joel in the Old Testament, when he talked about the Spirit of God falling upon his people. A strong reliance on Scripture to sustain and to stand on to guide your life. That which is spoken by the prophet Joel. H, a strong commitment and a need for loyalty. I'm ready to go with you, Lord, to prison and to death. Simon Peter on occasions was awfully weak, but on other occasions he was awfully strong. And a strong commitment and a need for loyalty. I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death. If in your heart there's a driving passion to finish your race well, just the other day, I was in conversation, brief conversation. In fact, it was a text message to a friend of mine. He's going through a difficult time with illness. And he said in his text, I'm praying God will just allow me to finish my race well. And so somebody with a spiritual gift wants to finish their race well. A strong need, a strong commitment to it, a need for the Lord. One of the things that I did mention a while ago is sometimes we're compulsive. Sometimes we do before we think. Remember the occasion where Simon Peter drew his sword and was taking the high priest, the servant, and take his life? Somebody once said, how could Simon Peter have been so skilled as just nick that servant's ear? Well, he wasn't trying for his ear, he was trying for his head. He was trying to behead him. And Simon Peter realized there's a strong need for a sense of loyalty and a commitment to sacrifice. We're talking about how to recognize your spiritual gift. And here's one I kind of got tickled at when I was looking at it. A tendency to be impulsive. Remember one day Simon Peter was in a boat fishing with his brothers. And Jesus is on the bank and Simon Peter saw Jesus. Remember what he did? He jumped in the water and swam to Jesus. And there was a compulsiveness to Simon Peter that was an overflow of his spiritual giftedness. A willingness to do, to suffer, and to do what is right. Jesus, Simon Peter said, I'm ready to go to prison and even die if I may need to. Jesus had just said, Simon Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. And Simon Peter responded, Lord, I'll go to my death serving you. And he did. He died on the cross. And the tradition says he was hung upside down on a cross. Having said all of that, listen, bring this morning's message to a conclusion. I just want to mention these words with just a brief word about them. How can I unwrap my spiritual gift? Or this prophecy or whatever it may be. We mentioned these seven things last Sunday. We mentioned them again probably each Sunday briefly. Accept the fact that you're gifted. Don't disregard it. Say, Lord, if you've gifted me a spiritual gift, help me to discover what it is and to walk in the strength of it and the power of the Holy Spirit. Abandon it. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. Get serious about your walk with Jesus. Don't leave it. Don't leave Jesus the leftovers of life. Get into the Word. There's no substitute to letting the Word. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, but I might not what? Sin against thee. Whatever motivates you and gives you the greatest sense of fulfillment, be aware of what appeals to your sense of desire and pursue that course. Ask God, since any man lacks wisdom, since man does lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to man abundantly, doesn't fuss at you for asking. Be aware of your affirmation. This is key. Friends and associates may recognize and affirm your gifts. I was talking with a preacher buddy of mine not long ago that I've known for many years. And he and I were talking about this matter of spiritual gifts. And he said, Jackie, I've watched your life and I believe your spiritual gift is. And we talked about what he believed it was. And he confirmed in my heart that it's probably the gift of encouragement or exhortation. The truth is, others ought to be able to see signs and evidence of whatever our spiritual gift is as it is lived out in our lives. And lastly, get involved in a ministry. There's no ministry too small, too large. Get involved in ministry. And if you can find a place where your gift can be used for the glory of God, you'll be blessed for it even more than you can imagine. Now, having said all of that, please understand, every child of God is gifted. God wants to use you for His glory. God wants you to discover His best for your life. Lord, help us to discover Your wonderful gift to us. Help us to live it out as we live faithfully and abandoned to the Lordship of Christ. Let's bow our hearts together, shall we?